The Ohio School of the Air. Men who made America. Stories of action, of achievement, of the men and women who have contributed to the molding of the nation. Mightier than the sword. The story of a strange crusade in which an artist and an editor attacked and overpowered one of the strongest, most notorious crews of pirates America has ever known. The decade following the war between the states, like the period after the World War, was a time of frenzied speculation, ending in financial panic and depression. The years before the panic of 1875 were marked by political corruption on all sides, and one of the most notorious of all the political pirates of the time was Boss Tweed, the man who was absolute monarch of New York City. Starting about 1869, William Marcy Tweed, the Grand Sachem of Tammany Hall, formed a ring of his close friends and gained control of the city's politics. For several years, Tweed and his friends divided millions in graft from the city treasury among themselves without any serious opposition. Then, a young artist named Thomas Nast began to bombard the Tweed ring with a battery of cartoons that appeared in Harper's Weekly magazine. It is an afternoon in the year 1871. Thomas Nast is at home working on his cartoon for the next issue of Harper's Weekly. His wife, Sally, is playing the piano.
Don't expect me to entertain you while you stare out the window.
Well, I wasn't staring, I was thinking.
That's a good excuse. You haven't run out of ideas, have you?
I don't know what's the matter with me this afternoon. This drawing just won't seem to shape up.
Let's see what you've done. Oh, Tommy, a drawing of me at the piano. You don't expect Harper's to print that.
The other side, darling, the other side.
Picture of a bald-headed man with a heavy beard and a long nose, Big Bill Tweed. Oh, darling, you're not doing another cartoon about Tweed.
I most certainly am. I intend to keep on drawing cartoons of Tweed until the people of New York realize what a scoundrel he is.
And a lot of good it'll do you.
Well, it takes time to fight an organization like the Tweed Ring. Sally, you haven't any idea what those thieves have done. Do you know what the Tweed Gang is, who they are?
Well, for one thing, I know that Mayor Hall is a member of the Ring.
Yes, and he's not the only one. Every official in the city belongs to the gang.
Well, tell me this, Tommy. Is Tweed the most important one?
Well, some say he is. Some say that the real leader is Sweeney.
Sweeney the park commissioner?
Peter B. Sweeney. The B stands for brains. He's a mighty shrewd lawyer. He may be the power behind the throne.
And the others?
Well, there's Connolly. Slippery Dick Connolly. He's city controller. He'll sign a check for any amount, provided he gets his rake off.
A man like that at the head of the city treasury.
But it's true, Sally. And then there's the Honorable Oakey Hall, the mayor.
But, Tom, I don't understand. How do they do it?
Oh, I don't know. There are dozens of ways. Overcharge the city, added payrolls, excessive claims. There are endless possibilities for anyone who's clever enough to think them up. And that gang is.
But doesn't anybody check up on
them? Not a soul. Connolly keeps the books and he refuses to show them.
But wasn't there a committee? Didn't five or six people inspect the records just a short time ago?
Yes, there was a committee. Six of our wealthiest and most influential citizens. John Jacob Astor, Moses Taylor, Marshall Robertson. Well, at any rate, the report was favorable to the ring.
Well, then, doesn't that clear up the whole matter? If such people as Astor and Taylor said their books were all right, you'd better quit drawing cartoons of Tweet and his gang.
I know, but don't you see, Sally? All the members of that committee were hand-picked by Connolly and Mayor Hall. Naturally, they were men the ring could trust. I cut the report out of the paper at the time. I think it's over here in this drawer. Here it is. Listen. It's titled A Certificate of Good Conduct. And then it says, we have come to the conclusion and certify that the financial affairs of the city, under the charge of the controller, are administered in a correct and faithful manner. Well, nothing could have done more to establish Slippery Dick Connolly's credit. Our wealthy citizens did a fine job.
You mean they lied?
Lied? No, let's say they whitewashed City Hall government for a price. Every man on that committee was given a big block of stock in the Viaduct Corporation.
The Viaduct Corporation?
Yes, you remember. I told you about that. Tweed's gang bought up an old, unused private waterworks for a few $1,000s and sold it to the city for millions.
But, Tom, if you know these facts, other people must know them, too. Why is it no one else dares to attack the ring?
Well, in the first place, the ring's too powerful. They buy protection. They've bought most of the newspapers. Well, they've bought enough votes to control not only New York City, but state legislature. Hoffman, the governor, was put in office by Tweed.
Then if it's as bad as that, Tom, you'd much better give up the fight. You're only knocking your head against the stone wall.
I know, but... Oh, if only I had somebody to help me. If even one of the daily papers would stand behind my cartoons with editorials, maybe we could make the public realize how they're being robbed.
But you said yourself all the papers are controlled by Tweed. What good's an occasional cartoon? Harper's is the only paper that prints your cartoons, and Harper's only comes out once a week. The Tweed papers come out every day. You won't hurt them, but they could ruin you.
I'm not worried. I've got my job, and I'm doing it. I'm trying to show the people what's happened to their city government. I'm trying to show them that what they call a democracy is nothing but a dictatorship under a gang of thieves. I've got to do something. Shout it, even if it's only drawing silly pictures.
Not silly pictures. They're... Oh, yes, I forgot to tell you. Tommy, darling, maybe this is what you've been wishing for.
Well, Sally, what is it?
Well, just wait till I get the Times.
The Times? Well, what has the Times got to...
Just wait till I find it. Oh, here it is. Here, see? It's in the editorial column.
Editorial column? And it must be Jennings.
Jennings?
Yes, he's the new man Jones brought over from England to write editorials for the Times.
Well, anyway, just listen to this. The sketches by Nast of New York life under democratic rule may not be entirely welcome to Tammany Chief, but the great body of citizens will sorrowfully admit that they are not exaggerated. Mr. Nast ought to continue these satires on local politics.
Sally, he says I ought to continue. Do you know what that means? It means the New York Times is going to fight the Tweed ring, too.
Do you really think so?
Where's my hat and stick?
Well, Tommy, where are you going?
To the Times. I'm going to have a talk with this man, Jennings. With him and Jones to back me up, this is just what I've needed.
But, honey, it's almost lunchtime.
Handsome.
Yes, I dare say you're right, Mr. Nast. There are a bunch of bounders, no doubt about that. I think I'd like to play along with you. Jolly little party, don't you think?
Then you're with me on this. I'll draw the cartoons. The Times will print the facts.
Miss Abercrombie, will you ask Mr. Jones if he can see Mr. Nast and me? Of course, you realize, Mr. Nast, that any arrangements we make are subject to Mr. Jones' approval.
But from your editorial, I suppose Mr. Jones approves.
Oh, why, come in, Jennings, come in. Bring Mr. Nast in with you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Jones. This is Mr. Nast, the cartoonist chap, you know.
Oh, yes, of course. Sit down, Mr. Nast. I've admired the cartoons you've been doing for Harper's. Quite a job you've cut out for yourself, young man.
Well, that's just what I've come to see you about, sir. It's too big a job for one man. Now, if the Times would just print the facts and back me up in my cartoons...
Facts? Well, what are the facts? Oh, of course, we know what's going on, but the newspaper's got to have proof before it can make direct charges.
That requires time, I'm afraid.
Yes, of course. Time and investigation. Now, if we could plant somebody in Connolly's office... I'll tell you what, Nast. You keep after them. Keep keeping them stirred up. Have you got any ideas?
Well, I think I've got one that'll do just that. The idea for this week's cartoon. I'll show that $15,000 diamond Tweed just bought. I'll have Sweeney standing beside Tweed and the two of them dividing their plunder. A little to their henchmen and the lion's share for themselves.
Oh, that's great. And what are you going to call it?
Well, that's the best part of it. You know that silly rhyme about... Let's see. Well, I'm going to call it Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
Several days later, Harper's Illustrated Weekly appeared on the newsstands. That afternoon, City Controller Connolly rushed into the office of Bill Tweed, Commissioner of Public Works.
Bill!
Just the man I want to see.
Bill, did you
see... Come in, sit down.
Did you see this week's Harper's?
Oh, and I'm too busy to waste time with picture books.
But listen, Chief, you've got to take a look at that fellow Nast.
You're so excited about Dick. Some crazy artist takes a pot shot in the dark and you worry about it. Plenty of time for him later. Let's get on to business. Ever hear of Andrew J. Garvey?
Who's he? Senator?
He's a plasterer.
A plasterer? Oh, yeah. You mean that man we got working on the new city hall, eh? Yeah, that I remember. He's all right.
Yeah. Works 9 months and sends in a bill for $3,000. Kind of modest, don't you think?
Sure. 9 months. Good plastering job's worth money. How about $2 million, Of course, he don't collect the $2 million. We do that. He gets his $3,000 and we...
Better make it uneven. Say $2,870,006. The 6 cents makes it look natural.
Yeah, here, I'll put my okay. $2,870,006. Hey, wait, boss.
What's the matter? Got writer's cramp?
I was just thinking. Maybe we'd better go slow for a while. $2 million sounds like a lot of money.
But you said $2 million in the first place. The 6 cents was my idea.
I know, but I just happened to remember that cartoon. What if Nast ever found out we paid $2 million for a plastering job?
You intend to invite Nast to look at the books, do you?
No, but he might find out. He has a pretty strong way of drawing pictures.
Let's see that magazine.
Yeah, here it is. Here's the page right here.
Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
Yeah.
The $15,000 diamond. Me and Sweeney dividing the funds. Look here, Dick. Nast has gone too far. These pictures are dangerous. I don't care what they print about me in the papers. Most of my constituents can't read anyhow. But they can look at pictures.
Well, what are we going to do about it, Chief? Harper's got a lot of prestige.
If Harper's wants to continue enjoying its prestige, it's going to stop printing cartoons about me. I'll sue them for libel.
Oh, we can't do that. It'll mean a court case. Might have to show the Treasury books. We might handle it another way, though.
How?
We could keep him from selling books to the city schools.
Great. I'll have the Board of Education reject all Harper's bids for school books. Not only that, but I'll make them destroy every Harper book now in use. Then we'll organize a company.
Or better yet, we'll give the contract to the New York Press. Between us, we own 90% of the stock. That'll put Harper's out of business in no time.
We have nothing to worry about. Besides, we'll be in Washington by fall. With Hoffman in the White House, we'll extend our territory.
Hoffman? I thought you were backing Tilden for president. And don't forget, Tilden worked hand in glove with us during the 68 election.
Tilden's too smart. Can't handle him. Not like Hoffman.
President Hoffman. Yeah, sounds pretty good, boss.
Might even take a fling at the Senate myself. Come on. Where's that plastering bill, Conley? Got a time?
Yeah, I'll sign it right now.
Wait. We'll add a couple of thousand on for good measure.
R-B-C-O-N. The firm of Harper is holding a meeting to consider the seriousness of this new blow from Boss Tweed and his ring. The argument has become bitter. Fletcher Harper holding out against the other.
You can't fight that ring, Fletcher. They're too powerful.
Oh, just because they're powerful and take a crack at us or anyone else, you'd side in with them. Do you realize that if they aren't stopped now, they'll go right on into national politics?
But think of us. Think of the firm. We'll lose thousands because this school book contract was canceled. Tweed's got his own company printing the school books right now.
He's right, Fletcher. We can't afford to work against the ring. They'll have us broken out of business before we can do any good.
And so you're going to let a bunch of hoodlums run the city government. Let them take all the good books out of the public schools and use their own trash. Let them swindle the public out of millions of dollars. Think what it means to future generations. You've got children of your own. Is this the kind of a city you want them to grow up in?
But you've got to be reasonable. We can't fight the ring by ourselves. If they're as bad as you say, they'll be exposed sooner or later. But we can't wait. They're swindling the public out of thousands every day. It's got to be stopped now. We'll be paying taxes for the rest of our lives, trying to erase the city's indebtedness.
Well, I see your point, Fletcher. But we can't continue to use NAS cartoons in our weekly.
I feel the same way about it. Our own sacrifice is too great.
Gentlemen, you know where I live. When you're ready to continue the fight against these scoundrels, send for me. Meantime, I shall find a way to continue it alone. Good day, gentlemen.
Well, what do we do now? We can't get along without Fletcher Harper. He made Harper's Magazine.
I never thought he'd walk out on it. I think we ought to ask him back.
Yeah, I do.
You gentlemen know what this means. We've got to fight this thing out to a finish. Either we break the ring or they break us.
And the battle was on. But it was an unequal battle. Harper's continued to print the cartoons of Nash. But it was a losing fight. The Tweed ring grew more daring. One July evening, Nash stopped in on Jennings at the Times office.
I realize, Jennings, I'd be the last man to call off the fight if I thought we were getting anywhere. But we're not. I can't do it alone. You promised to back me up to print the facts.
If we could get proof, we haven't been able to. We've tried, you know that.
They're too smart for you?
That's about the size of it. We've done what we could. Our editorials. We may express opinions, but we may not print facts without proof.
Wishy-washy editorials. Yeah. And those bandits stealing the city blind. All right, then, I'm through. Let the Tammany Indians go to Washington. Let them make a wigwam out of the White House. Let them turn the United States Treasury into a happy hunting ground. I'm through.
Excuse me, that's probably Jones. Now, come in.
Sheriff O'Brien. Mr. Tilden. Good evening, gentlemen. Do you know Mr. Thomas Nast?
Sure, and it's a great honor to know you, Mr. Nast. I've seen your card.
Not the Thomas Nast of the acid pen.
I'm afraid the acid has lost its bite, Mr. Tilden. How do you do, Sheriff?
Won't you be seated?
Well, we're not making a social visit, Mr. Jennings. It's business we've come on, business.
Yes, we've come to congratulate you, Jennings. You too, Nast, on the splendid fight you've made against Tweed.
Congratulate us? What? Both of you are Tweed men. Congratulations sounds strange coming from you.
Well, never mind how strange it is. The fact is, your fight is over.
Yes, I'm afraid it is. I guess it's too hopeless.
Hopeless? Why, you're going on with that fight. You're going to win.
Win? But how can we? We haven't any proof, any actual evidence against the ring.
Oh, so it's proof you want, Mr. Jennings. Then here's your proof. Actual transcriptions from Dick Connolly's book in the city treasury.
Just a moment, Sheriff. Before we go into this matter any further, how do I know these proofs are reliable? How do I know this isn't a scheme to work up a libel charge against the Times?
Well, I'll tell you how. The Tweed gang has double-crossed me. They promised to make me the Democratic candidate.
And if you're wondering what my reason is, I have my own personal grudges. I'd like to see the lot of them in the jailhouse, I would.
I wish I could believe you. But you'll have to pardon me if I still have my doubts. After all, it's a great responsibility to print material like this. No, we can't afford to take a risk. Unless... Well, here's Mr. Jones. We'll let him decide.
Mr. Jennings.
Connolly.
Mr. Jennings, I've got to see you alone.
Good evening, Connolly. I suppose you know these gentlemen.
Yes, but I've got to see you alone, Mr. Jennings.
Whatever you have to say, you can say in front of them and Mr. Nast.
Well, it's about those papers O'Brien brought you. They're gross forgeries, Mr. Jennings.
I was afraid they were.
Of course. Now, you're a sensible man. You wouldn't want to let yourself in for a big libel suit, would you? Now, let me have those papers and we'll drop the whole matter.
Thank you, but I think I'll keep them, Connolly.
You ain't going to print them.
I might.
Jennings, I'll give you $100,000 for those papers.
$100,000?
$200,000, then.
I should say not.
A million.
Let me get this straight. You're offering me $1 million for useless papers? Thank you, Connolly.
Then you accept?
Mr. O'Brien, Mr. Tilden, my apologies. By his very generous offer, Connolly has proved that these papers are authentic. We'll print them in tomorrow's Times.
Jennings, wait. I'll give you $2 million if you don't publish those documents.
$2 million is a lot of money. That's the highest bid anyone ever make for me. Sorry, I can't return the compliment.
You mean you're turning down $2 million?
You said something before, O'Brien, that appealed to me.
You said you'd like to see the whole gang in the jailhouse. After these documents appear, I dare say you'll have your wish. And now if you'll excuse me, gentlemen. Mr. Davison, will you take this for the front page spread for tomorrow morning and mark it must. Mall ring villainy. Just mark that 48-point streamer and then subhead, gigantic frauds in rental of armories. Transcription from Connolly's books. Reliable and incontrovertible evidence of numerous gigantic frauds on the part of the rulers of this city of such magnitude and of such shameful character.
Get the time. Graft ring exposed. Extra. Gigantic fraud. Extra. Extra. Get your times right here.
Why, it's dreadful. Here, let me read it to you.
I cannot sell you.
I sell fish at wholesale price.
Well, I don't care about the price, but...
What do you mean you don't care about the price?
X-ray, by the way.
Fighting about a penny.
Just a minute, Mr. X-ray. Come on,
I'm showing the...
Mrs. Sablaski.
Hold on,
X-ray. X-ray papers. All about Sweeney.
What's the matter?
What's the matter? You don't want to buy a paper. It's about Sweeney.
All
right. Don't buy it.
Of such magnitude and of such shameful character has been disclosed as should make the citizenry hang their heads in shame. The sources from which new facts and figures relative to the renting of armories in this city have been obtained are of the most reliable character. The statements we print can easily be verified.
New York rocked with the sensation. More timid papers fell into line once the ice was broken. Each day brought new exposures. Harper's presses rolled night and day, so great was the interest to see how Nast would lambast the gang next. Unable to deny the accusations, Tweed and his Tammany Hall allies tried to ignore them, to face it out until the furor should die down. But it would not down. Frantically, Tweed sought to bolster his popularity, to rally round him the dwindling ranks of the faithful. Then one night, when he sought diversion...
Yes,
over there, dear.
Hey, there's the boss. Start the cheering. Signal the Augusta leader.
Come on, play. They're coming in.
Look at them. They're in the box taking vows for all the world to be with royalty.
Grab them! Get those boats started.
We can't do it.
They're drowning us all.
Number two, boys. All right.
Let's get Connery. Who are two of those guys? A bunch of robbers.
Let's get them. Let's get
Connery. Howard Tammany. Get him.
Mr. Conley.
Good evening, officer. Just a little demonstration. You know how it is with us men in the public eye.
I'm thinking you won't be bothered that way much longer. Mr. Tweed and Conley, I got a warrant for your arrest.
Why, you can't do this to us. What's your number, officer? I'll speak to your superior officer about this.
I'm thinking you'll be speaking to the judge. If I was you, I'd come along quiet like and not make any trouble.
Soon, the entire Tweed gang was in jail. They were prosecuted. Most of them were convicted. Tweed broke prison and escaped to Spain, but he was brought back. He died in the Ludlow Street Jail in 1878. President Theodore Roosevelt, anxious to reward Nast in some way for his services in behalf of good government, appointed him to the consular service. He died at his post in Ecuador in November 1902. With the pen, the weapon that is sometimes mightier than the sword, Nast and Jennings had rid New York forever of the Tweed Ring. As for Nast's two great allies, Harper still flourishes, one of America's important publishers, and the Times enjoys the prestige of being one of the world's greatest newspapers. True indeed it is that his truth goes marching on. Again, Thomas Nast is in his studio. And again...
Oh, don't stop, Sally, dear. Play some more.
Mightier Than the Sword was the ninth of the series Men Who Made America, prepared for the schools of the nation by the Ohio School of the Air and presented as an NBC educational feature. It was a radio drama by Meredith Page and Eugene Kent, prepared by the radio workshops of the State Department of Education and of Ohio State University under the direction of Mr. Page. The script was an adaptation of an original play prepared by the Radio Guild of Scholastic, America's high school weekly magazine. It was produced by the Crosby Players under the direction of Reichel Kent. This is Joseph Reese inviting you to listen again next week at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time to 42 Years, the story of the artist George Bellows.